mechanic.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from George Mason University School of Business. This is your host, Herb Cohn, with my co-hosts, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Victoria Grady, George Mason University, Allison Mullins, Pretoria Law, and Ed Ruff, ACS Creative. We have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today, including Doug Lane, CEO of Capgemini Government Solutions, Dr. Daniel Fabrican, CEO and President of Natural Products Association, Gary Bowman, CEO and President of T.W. Perry Enterprises, and Lisa London, President and CEO of Edify Solutions. Let's see. Let's get to know our first guest, Doug Lane, CEO of Capgemini Government Solutions. First, Doug, what is Capgemini Government Solutions? What are you guys doing?
Well, technology and management consulting. We're owned by Capgemini Group, which is a large European-based firm, 200,000 people strong. My business focuses on public sector work, U.S. federal work in the U.S. here.
How large is the division that you run? How in terms of revenue and in terms of people?
About $100 million in sales and hundreds of people.
Wow. Where are you from originally?
From Baltimore, Maryland.
And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
Just one older brother, 5 years older.
5 years older. And tell us about Mom and Dad. What did they do for a living?
My mother was an OR nurse, and my father was a draftsman.
Your mom was an OR nurse, and your dad was a draftsman. All right. Are you more like your mom or dad?
I would say I'm a little bit more like my father.
All right. Now, you're running a company that's hundreds of people, $100 million in revenue. How are you more like your dad? What do you mean?
Well, not in that respect. I'm more like my father because I'm a little quiet. I like to be outdoors, like to play golf, so we have a lot of the same interests.
Huh. How about your mom? What did you get from your mom that you bring to work every day?
Work ethic, for sure. Mom was a very hard worker.
What did she do for a living?
She was an OR nurse. She worked the night shift at an operating room in a hospital in Baltimore.
Didn't you also tell us earlier when we were talking in the green room that Dad became ill when you were a kid or something like that?
Yeah, in the early 70s, my father was unfortunately got lung cancer, and then the next year followed with having colon cancer. Mm-hmm. And so he was out of work for some time due to the illness, and then because of his age, when he came back at the time, it was hard for a guy in his late 50s to get a job. So Mom carried the burden for the family, working at night in the OR and then coming home and getting us off to school in the morning.
Huh. What'd you learn from Mom during that period of time, a rather difficult period of time?
Well, it certainly was a big change for the family, but Mom certainly taught me that you got to do what you got to do to keep the family together and keep it moving, and that you can do really amazing things if you work hard.
Huh? Do you believe that?
Absolutely.
How's that shaped your life?
I like to think of myself as being a hard worker.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you can do anything you put your mind to?
Yes, I think I can.
Mm-hmm. How about Dad? What'd you learn from Dad's illness?
Well, you got to be ready for change. I mean, it rocked his world. He was not prepared for it mentally or physically, but he adapted to it.
And what did you learn from Dad's illness that you bring to work every day that's made you a successful CEO of Capgemini Government Solutions?
Well, again, that you have to be ready for change, and you have to deal with it. And in all businesses, you reach times when there's adversity for a variety of reasons, but you got to persevere and you got to lead the team to make sure that you guys can win.
So Mom taught you about hard work, and Dad taught you about accepting change. Yeah, it's pretty significant stuff, and maybe that's the reason you're the successful CEO of a $100 million organization. Allison, what are you thinking?
Doug, what was the first job that you had or the first time that you started making money?
I was about 11. I worked in an orchard picking apples in the summer, or actually in the fall, September, October.
How do you make money picking apples? Is it by the pound, by the number that you pick?
Back then it was by the bushel, quarter a bushel.
And did you want anything different from the other apple pickers?
Well, I don't know about the other apple pickers, but to me it was always a mental race to see how much you could make an hour. I always tried to make a little over $3 an hour, but I found the most I could make was about $2.50. Mm-hmm. You pick apples on the bottom, you can make them at a high rate, but when you got to pick the top, it's harder.
So at 11 years old, you were setting goals for yourself, natural goals, and you were trying to exceed those goals and trying to measure at the same time. Does that have anything to do with your business success, setting goals and measuring?
Well, it may. I mean, at the time, it was something to occupy your mind while you're picking apples all day. But but certainly, I'm a big believer in setting goals, mm-hmm. measuring results, mm-hmm. Holding people to it, and mm-hmm. trying to get everybody to pull mm-hmm. toward achieving them. Absolutely.
I just wanted to know the answer. Ed, what kind of question do you got?
So, you know, why did you pick from the top of the tree instead of the bottom of the tree?
Well, you had to.
You had to.
The guy who owned the orchard wouldn't let you just pick the bottom. You had to pick the whole tree.
Doug, how young were you when you started, when somebody handed you responsibility? What did that look like?
When I was a senior in high school, I worked from my 10th grade year on at a running shoe store in Baltimore. And when I was a senior, I was made an assistant manager, so I had some management responsibilities.
Why'd they make you an assistant manager? Were the other kids made assistant managers?
No.
Why you?
Well, I'd been there for a while. I had a good understanding of how the shoe store ran, and when I got out of high school, I was going to continue to work there full time, so it made sense.
You had a good understanding of how the shoe store ran. How old were you?
18 at that time.
So you understand the big picture. Yeah, you have an ability to understand how things work, how the whole system works. Has that had any effect on your ability to run this organization, this $100 million organization?
Well, I've been in technology or consulting for 34 years. I think I know the industry very well, and I do pride myself on developing others. I mean, in our business, the leaders of the business drive it, and so you really have to train the seniors in your business. It's almost like an apprenticeship model.
Were you doing that at the shoe store? Were you developing talent at the shoe store?
We had a lot of camaraderie at the shoe store, so we did like to have fun.
Did you encourage that camaraderie? Was that part of your role there?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I understand. Victoria, you have a question?
Yeah. When we were talking earlier, I mentioned the road less traveled, and I asked you about a crossroads that you found yourself in earlier in life that might have had a significant impact on how you moved forward.
Yeah, and one thing that stood out was, as I said, I spent about 3 years working full-time at that shoe store after high school until I could get a job in my field, computer science or technology. And during that time, it really didn't make a lot of money at the shoe store, and I had an opportunity to go manage a tire store. I had an interview set up, and I thought about it, and I just called them and canceled it because although I needed the money, and it was more money than I was making, what I really wanted to do was to get a job in my field, and I'm glad I did that because I think it accelerated my career.
So you're not the kind of leader that stands up front and says, me, 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 me. You're the kind of guy that quietly leads from behind?
Well, certainly if you there's different management styles, but you are limited in what any person can accomplish, and certainly a team through leverage is going to be much more successful, in my opinion. So, yeah, I like to give credit to others. I like to get them motivated to move. I hold them accountable, but I try to create an environment where our leaders can lead and our business can succeed.
How young were you when that occurred to you? How young were you when that became apparent to you? What was that vision about?
Well, I started my consulting career at Pricewaterhouse, and I was fortunate to have some partners that I worked for that really taught me the business. And so I learned it at a young age, in my 20s, late 20s. I saw how successful teams could be when you had a good management style. So I was fortunate to have good mentors.
But wasn't that the same lesson you learned at the shoe store about the team?
Yeah. Yes. Everything builds upon early experiences, I guess.
Huh. How about that, Joseph? Did you have a question there? No. All right. Doug, what's the best part of your day? What do you enjoy most about what you do for a living?
Well, I like the morning, no matter what I'm doing. I mean, during the week, I'm an early guy. I usually leave the house at 5, get to the office at 6, work out in the gym, and then get cleaned up, and I'm in the office early. So I like that period of time.
Do you get paid extra money for getting up at 5 and getting into the office early?
No, but I live in downtown Baltimore and I work in Tyson, so it's helpful to do that. But even on the weekends, when I play golf on the weekends, I'm an avid golfer and I'm still up early and I like to get up to the course.
Wait, hold on. But if you're not getting paid extra, why do you do that?
Well, I get paid plenty for what I do. It's important to me to be in the office early when I'm there. I'm not in the office every day, but when I'm there, I like to be there early, and I like to have a presence in the office.
Yeah, it sounds to me like you like being prepared. Allison.
Doug, if I can go back for a minute, when did you stop working at the apple orchard?
When I was in the ninth grade.
And why did you stop working at the orchard?
Because you could do sports in ninth grade forward, and we were very serious about sports, so I would focus my time on that.
And what sport did you participate in?
I ran cross country and track.
What's that tell us about you? Why cross country and track?
Well, my brother was a very good athlete, and he was the first person to throw the shot put 60 feet in the state of Maryland in high school. And I grew up watching him and others, and the high school I went to had a great distance running program. And I wanted to, they were my role models, so I wanted to do what they did.
It sounds to me like you choose pretty strong role models, you know, and you run not only your brother, but also what you learned at the shoe store, Price Waterhouse, and nowadays at Cap Gemini. Are you the smartest guy in Cap Gemini?
not by a long shot.
So you really like role models. What's the website address of this organization, Cap Gemini
it's
Government
Solutions? Capgemini-GS.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Capgemini-GS.com.
We've been speaking with Doug Lane, CEO of Capgemini Government Solutions, here on Executive Leaders Radio, with my co-hosts, Mr. Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Victoria Grady, George Mason University, Allison Mullins, Praetori Law, and Ed Ruff, ACS Creative. This is your host, Herb Cohen. Don't forget to visit our website, which is executiveleadersradio.com. That's executiveleadersradio.com. We'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Nice interview.
And your name and what organization are you with?
Hi, I'm Ed Ruff. I'm with ACS Creative.
And I understand that ACS Creative does design and the creative work, whether it's for the physical world or the digital world. But I understand that you add some extra special value. What is that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're a branding, web design, and marketing firm. The crux of what we really do is website development, but as opposed to just jumping right in and designing what a client is asking for or trying to fulfill on some graphic expectation that they have, we like to take a half a step back, look at their overall branding, their messaging, and then take a full step forward and look at how they're going to market, what their strategic plan is moving forward, where their conversion points need to be met, and how we can capture that information and leverage it going forward.
So it sounds to me that rather than just go ahead and do the creative and to find out that it doesn't really fit in with the overall plan, you're actually willing to sit and help figure out the overall plan and then what the design should be expressing so that it doesn't become obsolete immediately.
Absolutely. So yeah, most oftentimes designers might start with that design. We don't. Our design phase doesn't come until the third phase. Our first phase is actually full discovery. Let's look where you came from.
All right,
let's talk about where you're at.
How long have you guys been around?
We've been around since 1986.
So I guess one of the reasons you guys have been around since 1986 is because you're able to really service. Do you have clients that stick around for a long time?
Oh, absolutely. We still have our original clients, yeah.
Well, that proves the point. I mean, the process you're using works. What's the website address of this organization?
You can find us at acscreative.com.
Let me have that one more time.
That's acscreative.com.
And your name again is?
Ed Ruff.
And the name of the organization?
ACS Creative.
And this has been your Business Spotlight.
Nice. Thank you.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658.
Attention hernia mesh implant surgery patients. A popular hernia surgery product has been linked to a high rate of complications and injuries. If you or a loved one had a surgery where a hernia mesh was implanted and have experienced any of the following: pain, infection, adhesions, mesh migration or product rejection, needed replacement or revision surgery, or other adverse reactions, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Hernia mesh patch implants are used for repairing most common types of abdominal hernia, which occurs when muscles or connective tissue in your abdomen are damaged or weakened. If you have had a hernia mesh implant and suffered an injury, time is limited to file a claim. Act now. Call for more information about the recall and a free consultation. Don't be a silent victim. Call 800-748-8410. 800-748-8410. 800-748-8410.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and we'd like to introduce Dr. Daniel Fabricant, who's CEO and President of the Natural Products Association. Dr. Fabricant, what is the Natural Products Association? What are you guys doing?
We make sure retailers and manufacturers of natural products, everything you'd buy at your local natural organic store, get a fair shake with governments.
Huh, interesting. How many members do you have in this organization?
1,100 members, about $3.5 million association, 10 full-time staff.
So it's 1,100 members, and the members tend to be what kind of businesses?
Retailers, manufacturers of dietary supplements, natural organic foods, natural organic personal care.
Huh, interesting. So where are you from originally?
Miami, Florida.
Miami, Florida. And how many brothers and sisters?
I have an older sister and a younger brother.
An older sister and a younger brother. All right. And how young were you when you started making money?
11 at my parents' grocery store.
Your parents had a, and was this a full-time gig for them, or was this a part-time gig?
Part-time gig for them.
What did your parents do full-time?
My mom was an accountant, and my father was previously an executive at a corporation.
All right. And you started working, they had a grocery store, and you started working in the grocery store at 11. So what were you supposed to do when you started working in that grocery store?
Everything that was asked, whether it was working in the butcher shop, slicing meats, stocking shelves, cash register, whatever it took.
So you worked the cash register, you sliced meat, you stocked shelves, you did a little bit of everything. You got a pretty broad perspective of what was going on there. And did you like that or did you hate that?
It was interesting. I mean, it was, I had to do it.
What'd you find interesting?
Learn about different cuts of meat.
And you said you also had to do it. So what do you mean you had to do it?
Well, it was a... The shop wasn't in the best of neighborhoods, and so having trustworthy employees wasn't so easy. And so it was a family-run business, and as many family-run businesses, you trust your family first.
All right, so you got involved with that business, and you learned who you could trust, who you could deal with. You learned about business. What did you learn from working in that grocery store that you use nowadays as the CEO and president of the National Products Association with 1,100 members?
Well, I think first and foremost is the concept of loyalty and really taking care of your own. It's a huge part of what we do and try to protect our members to make sure they get a fair shake.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that mom and dad got divorced when you were about 8 years old. How did that affect you? You're 8 years old. All the other kids are, happily and gleeful. What did that do to you?
Well, it's never easy, but I think it kind of forced me to look at things in a broader spectrum, look at both sides of issues, and really try to get a grasp on what was going on versus just be emotional.
So as opposed to being emotional, you went ahead and you became introspective, and you began to think about things. Was it in terms of what's right and what's wrong, or tell me more about
that? Yeah, a lot more in terms of what's right and what's wrong, and what was really going on behind the scenes. I think when you're a kid, people don't always want to tell you why they're doing what they're doing, but I think you can a lot of times figure it out.
So you tried to figure out what was really going on, and you came up with what your own sense of what's right and what's wrong, fairness, justice, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I'd say that's been a big part of my life, my career.
What do you mean? What are you talking about? How's that affected your career?
Well, now we're certainly advocate for the industry and make sure they get a fair shake. But prior to that, I ran the division at FDA that was in charge of dietary supplements for the country to make sure that folks that were violating laws were brought to justice. So
you understand how to play. You understand both sides of the coin. On one hand, you were working for the government. On the other hand, now you're working for industry.
Yeah, I like that. It's the same coin. It's just different sides.
So you saw that with mom and dad as well.
In a lot of ways, yeah.
So nobody was absolutely right, nobody was absolutely wrong.
There are always, sometimes people are maybe more wrong than others, but yeah, that absolutes are tough.
So you understand people.
I'd like to think so, but...
Uh-huh. So how does your understanding of people help you with this being the CEO and president of this Natural Products Association?
Well, I think you got to get to what motivates them. You got to strip back to what's really underneath it and what's going to drive them to action. Ultimately, any organization like ours, a nonprofit, it's about action.
So you worked for the FDA previously. Now you're the CEO of this Natural Products Association. What's the common thread between both gigs?
Well, I think trying to get, you know, one I had the stick, the other I had a carrot. But really, it's about influencing behavior, making sure behavior's going the right direction.
I just wanted to make sure I understood. Allison, what do you got?
Daniel, in between working at your parents' grocery store when you were younger, did you have any time to play sports?
I did. As a kid, I played baseball.
And what position did you play?
I started out as an outfielder when I was 8 years old, you know, stick the kid in right or left field. And then as I grew, I played pretty much everything on the field.
And did you ever take a leadership position?
As I got older and I got better, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, what kind of leadership position did you take?
I was probably the most, my last 2 years in Little League anyway, was the most important player on the team. So
you're comfortable growing into a role?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What's that have to do with your professional career?
Well, I think, and this is my second trip at the association, so it may be a pretty good parallel that I developed over time. The federal experience certainly helped in my role now as a CEO and president.
Mm-hmm. Just wanted to make sure I understood, Joseph.
Yes. So, Daniel, you've developed. You developed as an all-star in Little League. Mm-hmm. You developed, as you told us, as a kickoff returner, mm-hmm. a punt returner at UNC. So how does that reflect back to the way you treat your employees and what you expect from them?
Well, I expect underneath it all, they've got the same desire to want the ball in their hands eventually. So that's the key thing to look for and what's going to motivate them to eventually want the ball in their hands and run and take off and lead. Some would say football-esque, but I think it's the way eventually you want to put pressure on people to get them to grow.
Victoria?
Kind of in that same nature, I'm curious how the competitive athletic atmosphere at UNC influenced your management style or influences your management style today.
I think it's played a huge role. I think it clarifies in my mind every day that it is a competition out there and you've got to be prepared to compete. Certainly soft skills are very important in the workplace, but at the end of the day, if folks really want to get ahead, if that's really what motivates them, they've got to be prepared to compete, and I want folks who want to compete on my team.
And you're running a nonprofit organization,
mm-hmm.
and you're looking for teammates that are competitive that can really help you grow this thing. This is it's interesting that you're bringing a business sense to the world of association management.
Yeah, government. Washington's always at war in a lot of ways. It's always a competition. So mm-hmm. I think having that is critical.
Uh-huh. Allison,
when you talk about what you do on a daily basis, there's a sense of pride. Is that true?
Oh, in a big way. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about that. Pride in your employees, proud in what your business is doing?
I think more pride in the accomplishments than anything else and how we're able to protect and provide for our members a service they may not get elsewhere. I think that's really the crux of it.
Give me more about that. What do you mean?
Well, I think that you have industries are always, you know, drawing fire from different bodies of government, things mm-hmm. of that nature. Mm-hmm. And so some of it is warranted, and we're happy to work with, you know, folks mm-hmm. in that case. But a lot of times it's misinformation, things like that. So those can be tense situations that you've got to hit back and hit back hard. And I think we do a good job in that regard.
So you sounds like you really got shaped with this experience with mom and dad, you know, trying to figure out what's right and what's wrong and where you're going to put your energy. And it sounds like that's what you really enjoy doing nowadays. You have a lot of pride in making sure that things are done correctly, you know. And
Yeah, that's you. Sometimes you don't get a second chance to make your case.
Mm-hmm. What's the website address of this organization?
NPAinfo.org.
Let me have that one more time.
NPAinfo.org.
And what's the best part of your day, Daniel?
Aside from seeing my kids, I really enjoy the chance to meet with folks who may be adversarial or have a different opinion and have a conversation with them.
Who wears the pants in the family, you or your wife?
Me.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'll have to talk to your wife about that. Let me have the website address one more time.
NPAinfo.org.
We've been speaking with Dr. Daniel Fabricant, CEO and President of Natural Products Association here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, we'll be back in a moment right after this spotlight. Nice.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the only national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. BizTV can provide the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
This is Shaquille O'Neal.
And the Shaquettes.
Reminding you that anytime.
Anytime.
Is a good time.
Good time.
For the cooling, drying, fresh scent of Gold Bond Powder Spray. Like after the gym.
Or a crowded elevator ride.
Or golf.
Or working with farm animals.
Or a hard day's work.
Like sports casting.
You said it, ladies. Stay cool with Gold Bond Powder Spray.
Stay cool with Gold Bond.
Ha ha.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow!
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607. 4607.
Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park or the beach or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
888-904-1986. 888-904-1986. That's 888-904-1986.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Gary Bowman, CEO and President of T.W. Perry Enterprises. Gary, what is T.W. Perry Enterprises? What are you guys doing?
T.W. Perry sells lumber and building materials to local custom home builders and remodelers. We're very good at selling materials and getting the materials delivered to the job sites where and when the customers need them.
How large or how small is this organization?
We're going to do about $170 million this year, and we have 425 employees.
Wow, this is a large organization. And where are you from originally?
I'm from Bel Air, Maryland.
Mm-hmm. And how young were you when you started making money?
Probably 12, 13 years old. I was mowing grass in local neighborhood, and I worked some part-time jobs with inventory services for little convenience stores.
So 8 to 14 years old, what kind of kid were you?
I was a kid that loved reading. I had a lot of varied interests.
What do you mean you had a lot of varied interests? Tell us a little bit about your varied interests.
I was kind of called myself a chronic dabbler. Mm-hmm. I played tennis in high school. I went fishing every couple days a week after school, mm-hmm. let out. I loved to read. I always had my head buried in books.
Mm-hmm.
Took up golf later on, played Little League baseball.
Uh-huh.
Pretty busy childhood.
So you're dabbling. You're keeping yourself busy. I'm wondering, is there any benefit to that, to those characteristics, 8 to 14 years old? Does anything to do with you being successful as CEO and president of T.W. Perry Enterprises?
I think so. Having a lot of varied interests, I may have lacked some of the focus on one particular thing, but I can move seamlessly between all kinds of business functions. I'm comfortable in accounting, finance, operations, inventory, strategy, and being able to move seamlessly between those functions and have a well-rounded understanding of them, I think really helps me fulfill a very good leadership role, mm-hmm. for the company.
So what we understand is that your dabbling as a kid with music, with fishing, with sports, with all this other stuff has something to do with your ability to move seamlessly between all the different elements of running a successful business. What kind of student were you back in school?
I struggled in middle school and high school. Didn't do really well. Again, I had trouble focusing. I usually did really well on all my exams, but I didn't do my homework. So mm-hmm. I was always having arguments with teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I got to college, it was a different story. My grades improved.
How's that showing up as a positive? You're having your arguments as a student when you were a kid. How's that have a positive effect when you're being the CEO nowadays?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
Yeah, you're the thing about you having debates with the teachers when you were a kid. What's that have to do with being a successful CEO nowadays?
I think it causes you to question why you're doing what you're doing, and is it the way you always did it, or is there a real reason and sound business reason behind doing what you're doing? And I always question it, so it helps us be better.
So the kid that asks questions isn't necessarily wrong for asking the questions. He's trying to figure out whether things make sense. Maybe he'll end up like you, a CEO one day of a $170 million business. Yes, Allison, what are you thinking?
Gary, you said that you were a chronic dabbler, but you've also been at this job for over 30 years, and you say that you started playing tennis young, and you continue to play it today. That sounds more to me like someone who's loyal and committed. So is there anything else other than your job in tennis that you're still committed to as a chronic dabbler?
I still do my music. I play French horn in occasional gigs around town and for my church. And
Why French horn? Why did you get involved with French horn to begin with?
Well, initially it was because the band director needed a French horn player to fill out his band.
But wait a minute. But why did you go do something else? Why did you take that one on as opposed to doing something else?
It was a challenge. It's a difficult instrument to play, and I took a lot of lessons, and I got better.
Mm-hmm. So how does that apply to today? You're still playing French horn. It's one of the hardest instruments to play. And you could have stopped and bridged into something easier that you could have played piano or trumpet or something.
I love challenges.
So how does that apply to your business now?
I'm intensely protective of all my organizations and committed whenever there's transitional times or times of stress in the organization. I embrace it and attack those challenges. And if it's difficult, it's not a reason to shy away from it.
So you fix things?
Yes, very much so.
How do you do that?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting the relationship between you're taking up the French horn when you could have taken an easier instrument and continuing with it, and your ability to take on these business challenges. Victoria, what's going through your mind?
Well, I'm just curious, going back to the chronic dabbler, how you think that chronic dabbler perspective that you had earlier in life might be influencing or have influenced the way your leadership style has evolved over time?
I think that it matters a lot because when you're having this intense interest in doing different things, you really embrace a wide diversity of functional areas and subject matters, and you really have an interest in exploring and learning how to mesh different disciplines together in creative ways to solve problems and to execute business functions.
So when you have a business issue come up, you're able to pull different teams together to look at it a bunch of different ways to get to the solution?
Absolutely. One of the things about being a chronic dabbler is, unfortunately, I don't become expert or awesome at any of them. But I really appreciate surrounding myself with true experts that are very focused in any one discipline, who know a whole lot more about it than me. So I'm very good at, finding those experts and pulling teams together to attack issues.
Allison?
With such a broad variety of interest, what's the best part of your day, Gary?
Probably I'm an early guy. Our business starts early every day. Our first people show up at 4:30 in the morning to get deliveries out. So I'm usually in my office about 6:30, but I like coming in, going through my email and just seeing, what all the work of the day looks like and, where the issues are, where the wins are, where the losses are, and,
But that's a lot of chaos and a lot of stuff to, be going wrong and wacko that you don't anticipate. Some people love coming in where it's nicely well organized. It sounds to me like you're the natural take chaos and make organization out of it.
I love a very varied, just like a dabbler. The more varied things that are going on, I enjoy that.
Uh-huh. Do you have a question there?
So, what's the biggest challenge in what you're doing? Is it the logistical side? Is it the managing the number of people that you have? I mean, obviously, there's some tough challenges that take you in a bunch of different directions. But what's the toughest challenge of the day?
The toughest challenge of the day is just making sure that you accomplish your goals and stay on target, and that you don't get distracted, and keep the company moving forward.
So it's the people, or is it you? What's that look like, in terms of making sure that the goals are getting done? Is it the other people? Is it me? What's the solution to all that stuff?
The people are, they're all doing their thing every day, and they need a leader to show them, what the direction is and get all the troops rowing in the same direction as a organization.
How young were you when that began to show up, 8 to 14 years old, this ability to help set the direction and lead? What was going on in your
childhood? It started when I started my real work career, you know, after college.
But how about as a kid, 8 to 14, in terms of the family or the neighborhood of what was going on in school? Were you organizing other kids or helping set priorities?
Not so much.
Mm-hmm. Allison.
You said that your first job was mowing lawns. How did you get customers?
Just went around and beat on doors and visited the neighbors and said, hey, can I mow your lawn for a couple bucks?
And then how long did you service those customers?
A couple years.
Did it ever occur to you that many times the way somebody starts mowing lawns is the neighbor asks them, they do it once, and that's the end of the story? You went ahead, knocked on doors, and went ahead and maintained these accounts as well as mowed their lawns. You know, you were organized from a young age in terms of organizing your client base, weren't you?
Yeah, I suppose so. One of the things my mother taught me was that, you know, that there's dignity in work. And she said, no job is too low. And she says, no matter what you do, even if it's the lowest job, like cleaning bathrooms, you'd be the best bathroom cleaner there is, and you'll do fine. And that kind of stuck with me throughout my career. And
what do you mean that stuck with you? What are you talking about?
I've always been willing to do anything that needed to be done for the organization's interest. And no matter what it was, I never had an idea that any job was either beneath me or whatever. And, you know, part of what a CEO does is has initiative, finds what needs to be done that day, and makes sure that it gets done and taken care of.
So you're willing to get your hands dirty. You don't think that it's beneath you, quote unquote.
I love to get my hands dirty.
Uh-huh. Do you have the nicest car in the parking lot?
No.
Why not?
It's just not who I am.
What
do
you
mean?
I'm
not about flash and glitz and.
I just wanted to make sure I understand. What's the website address for T.W. Parry?
TWPerry.com.
TWPerry.com. We've been speaking with Gary Bowman, CEO and President of T.W. Parry Enterprises, here on Executive Leaders Radio. We'll be back in a moment after this business spotlight. Nice interview. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, are truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity.
Call 800-935-0752 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Milberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, that's 800-430-7570.
Attention Xarelto and Pradaxa users. If you or a loved one has taken Xarelto or Pradaxa and suffered an injury or even died, you could be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Xarelto and Pradaxa are prescribed blood thinners used to prevent blood clots and protect people from strokes. If you have taken Xarelto or Pradaxa and been hospitalized for internal bleeding, call now, 800-305-2036. Serious bleeding has led to numerous cases of hospitalization and death. If you or a loved one was hospitalized for serious internal bleeding or a stroke after taking Xarelto or Pradaxa, you could be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Don't be a silent victim. Time is limited to file your claim. Call now for free information and a free consultation. Call 800-305-2036. That's 800-305-2036. Again, 800-305-2036.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Vincent Keene, who's president and CEO of Unity Healthcare, Inc. And what is Unity Healthcare, Inc.? What do you guys do?
Unity is a nonprofit healthcare service that provides care to the uninsured, the poor, and the residents of the district jails.
How many folks did you help last year?
Our organization helped 106,000 individuals, and we have employees of 1,000.
You helped 106,000 people last year. Wow. Where are you from originally?
I was born in rural part of Ireland, County Mayo.
And you told us when you were 5 years old you used to do something. What were you doing at 5 years old in Ireland?
Well, a lot of things, but at 5 years old, I belonged to a very small village, and there was a lot of elderly people there, so I'd go around and visit them. And
why would you go around and visit them?
Because I was a little bit left out. I had three older brothers, mm-hmm. and I was a little disconnected from them. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to school at the time, so, you know, I had nothing else to do. Plus, you know, my grandfather had died right around that time.
So you were out visiting folks in the village, and what would these people, what would they tell you about yourself?
And they'd tell me what a nice boy I was.
Did you, do you actually remember them telling you that?
Yeah.
How do you think that affected you at 5 years old, being told you were being a nice boy, and that the fact that these older folks appreciated you? How do you think that that affected you?
I think it made me feel good, and probably had something to do with the affirmation that I looked for as an individual and then found in my work in the ministry and subsequently in Unity.
Yeah, I think you had 106,000 people last year that certainly appreciate who you are and what you've done. Who's got the next question here? Brian?
Yes.
Did this idea of being a nice boy and some social consciousness originally lead you, do you think, to the ministry?
Oh, I would say no doubt. Growing up in Ireland, you have three choices: become a politician, law enforcement, or a priest. And I chose the priesthood, and I was not law abiding, so that's why I didn't choose.
Uh-huh. Alan, what do you got?
What happened in your childhood to lead you to the priesthood? Because I'm seeing how it's translated into your life now. A minister has his flock. A religious leader has his community that he's responsible for. How did your childhood affect your decisions to...
I think certainly my mom had what I would call the more compassionate side of the family. My dad was more driven, entrepreneurial, and I actually learned very much from both of them. My mom was very emphasized education, so I was sent to a boarding school at 11. And, the boarding school was not easy. But I did get exposed to a lot of priests there who impressed me in terms of their service and commitment to both us as students and to the larger community.
Andy?
How did you relate, I guess, currently to what you do today to taking care of or these conversations you had with people in your childhood?
I really think, as has been said here before, that life is all about relationships. And in my work today, it's very much relational. It's relational. I don't directly care for people in that sense, but I directly care for the people who care for them. So making sure that my staff are affirmed, that they are felt important. That's very important. That's very critical to me. And I think it began, it's something you just pick up.
Brian?
You said you from an early age you left to a boarding school, but you also just mentioned your father. Can you tell us a little about your father? And you said he was an entrepreneurial type. What did he do, and what effect did that have upon you?
My dad was a cabinet maker, and he started business during the war, and there was a shortage of wood during the fall, so he had to cut back on making cabinets, and he started making coat hangers. Eventually started making coffins, and my dad always adjusted to the situation. Today, we have a business, significantly important cabinet-making business in Ireland, survived the recession. Mm-hmm.
The commitment to service that you uncovered early in life, how has that evolved in your life as you've grown older and managing the organization you run now?
I think the commitment to service, particularly in the priesthood, was very important. And then when I made the decision to transition out of the priesthood, it was really important for me to assume a role that it would be mission-driven. And thankfully, since I left the priesthood in 1986, I have been working in this kind of an environment. It would have to be mission-driven. There are certain organizations that I wouldn't want to work for, because I wouldn't be in sync with their mission.
What are the similarities between a small rural village in Ireland and a big urban area like Washington, D.C.?
Not a lot of similarities. There's a lot of pubs in both areas. But basically, I think the whole thing again is, and as I have built over 46 years in this area, I've built relationships, friendships, work. It's the same thing as a small rural village, really. There's no difference. It's all about people interacting with each other and caring for each other. And that's a major challenge that I see carried out in my day-to-day
work. What's important about that to you?
To me, it's very important. It's important.
Why?
Because, well, number one, I think life is really about giving. I think all of life is grace. Everything I have gotten personally has really been a gift.
Wait. All of life is grace? What's that about? Give me that.
Well, it probably does come from religious tradition, but what I mean by that, it's gift. If I have talents, if I have... expertise. Yes, I've worked for a lot of that, but fundamentally, I think it's, as somebody said here, it's being given to me by the cosmos or what I believe to be God or higher power. So therefore, I feel I owe it in return.
Yeah, you feel, if you walk through life feeling blessed. What's the website address of Unity Health?
UnityHealthcare.org.
Excellent. We've been speaking with Vincent Keene, President and CEO of Unity Healthcare, Inc., here on Executive Leaders Radio. John, can you give us a rundown on who we've had the opportunity of speaking with today?
Today we talked to Tim Hughes, Managing Shareholder of Bean Kinney, Samim Ardeshar, Partner of Grossberg Company, Piyush Soda, CEO and Co-Chairman of Castle Systems International, and Vincent Keene, President and CEO of Unity Healthcare Incorporated.
I'd like to thank my co-hosts, Mr. John Schuhart, Graybeard Coaching, Tom McBride, Cressa, Milton Foster, Potomac Companies, Brian Chandler, Pretori Law, Alan Barmack, WearAware, Andy Powell, Halt, Buzis, and Powell, as well as Eric.
Eric Maribojic from George Mason.
George Mason University. For giving me enhanced structure in the questions, hope you're providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, thank you for joining us today. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.